All right, now as we go into the forms in the workbook here, you're going to have to turn ahead of the forms, and I'm going to jump along, and you got a bunch of instruction pages and things, so we're going to hear a lot of flip, 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 flip to stay with me on this, because we're going to hit the high points, and I want to give you instructions on how to operate these forms. The first form is the major components of a healthy financial plan. The major components of a healthy financial plan. There are basically 14 major components of a healthy financial plan if you're in here. Number one is the written cash flow plan. We've been talking about that. Number two is the will or an estate plan. You need a will. 78% of the public dies without a will. That's stupid. It's stupid and it's rude. It's rude to die without a will because the people that are left behind, you leave them in what's known as a mess. It takes years to unfold some of this garbage. Families are split apart because some bozo died without a will and didn't tell people what to do with his stuff, and they're arguing over his two toothpicks. So get a will, and you can get a will inexpensively today. You can go to one of these online things, and you want one that is specific to your state because probate law is specific to your state. And then you need to learn the particular things, whether you have to have witnesses or notarization or what you have to have. But if you're broke, why do I need a will? You got kids. You don't want the state deciding anything for you. You need to take your destiny in your hands. If you don't have a lot of money, so what? For a few dollars, you can get a will and a little estate planning thing with an online service, and we strongly recommend that. Strongly recommend that. The third thing is a debt reduction plan. Begin your debt snowball. We'll talk about that in detail when we get into the debt lesson. The next one is a tax reduction plan. Vote. Next one is an emergency fund. A fully funded emergency fund is how much? No, a fully funded is how much? 3 to 6 months. And that's baby step what?
3.
Good. Very good. The next thing is a college fund. We're going to deal with that in baby step 5 and in the fruition to tuition lesson, the retirement and college planning lesson. We'll go into detail on that. Charitable giving. You must be doing some charitable giving systematically, regardless of your faith or your background or your lack of faith. Giving is a part of a healthy life. We're going to talk about that in the bonus lesson. Teaching your kids about money. You need to teach your children how to handle money. If you don't, they'll come home and live with you. Life insurance. You need good life insurance. We're going to cover in detail how to get life insurance, what kind of life insurance in the life insurance lesson. Same with health insurance, disability insurance, auto insurance, and homeowners insurance. The bottom line is this is a checklist of a good, healthy financial plan. To the extent you do not have stuff going on in those categories, you need to have stuff going on in those categories. And we're going to teach you something in every single one of those except the will. And we're not going to do estate planning in this course. But you need to get a will. I'll tell you that one more time out loud. Now, the next slide is the consumer equity sheet. An accountant would call this a balance sheet. It's really simple. It's what you own minus what you owe equals the equity in that item. For instance, looking at the in red there at the top line, your house. Maybe you own a house worth $180,000 and it has a mortgage on it of $149,000. That would be equity of $31,000. And so you keep going what you own minus what you owe, and then go all the way down that list. Now, when you go down that list on that right-hand column, all the way down in the right-hand corner, the figure that is the total of your equity is your net worth. And when you get $1 million in that corner, you're a millionaire. Now, you can't just write $1 million in there. You have to really have the equity. And then you're a millionaire. But so what you own minus what you owe. Now, I'm completely debt-free, so it's just what I own all moves over to that equity column and then runs to the bottom. And we just total it up, and that gives you what's called your net worth. Now, that matters because that shows you over time how you're winning. We used to call this our hope sheet. For many years when we were fighting the bear, and it was just hand-to-hand combat, every single month we're just like barely getting by, and we're knocking out a little debt, knocking out a little debt, knocking out a little debt. We didn't feel like we were getting anywhere because it was still tight. It was still a struggle. We still didn't know where we were going. But when we would add it up on this sheet, we'd go, okay, the debt's going down, the savings is going up, and that bottom number down there is going up. And we get it, even though things were tight and we still kind of felt like we were a rat in a wheel, we were getting traction and we were making progress. So we could write hope across the top of that as we saw that number go up moving along there while we're fighting that process. Now you're beginning to build the budget when you fill out the income sources. And you just, all we're going to do here is figure out for this month what your income is. Joe and Susie have two salaries here. They have a $2,716 salary that comes in on the first of the month, and then another salary that comes in on of $945 on the first and the 15th of the month. If you put those together, you get $3,661. So for our mythical couple here, we have $3,661 in order to spend this month. Now, that's take-home pay because that's all you've got to work with. The rest of it's theory and discussion and philosophy and all that. Doesn't matter. So just deal with take-home pay. That's your only issue. Lump sum payment planning sheet is where you keep Christmas from sneaking up on you. You keep those gotchas, those big bills that happen once a year or once a quarter or something like that from sneaking up on you. I used to pay my car insurance quarterly. Any of you pay your car insurance quarterly? So absolutely nothing wrong with that. But it kind of kept me off kilter all the time because I was like, free month, gotcha. Free month, gotcha. You know, and it kind of felt that way in the budget all the time. And so when I looked at this, I just went, let's just put the thing on monthly and have it auto-drafted, and I didn't worry about it anymore. But what you've got to do is you figure out what I'm going to spend. For instance, we've got on here home repairs, $1,800. We're anticipating that. Divided by 12, if I'm going to stick $150 then in the budget to accomplish that over time. If you're doing a Christmas budget, you know, you got $1,200 for a Christmas budget. Divided by 12 is $100 a month, and you put that in. And now you can't do everything, and while you're in different baby steps, but as you're moving along, this makes you keep things from sneaking up on you that you know are coming. Now, the monthly cash flow plan, the most important sheet, right here it is. You ready? Monthly cash flow plan. You'll notice the very first thing on here is charitable giving, because you start with charitable giving. Now, your total right there in the center is the total of those subcategories. I'll cover that in a second. But look over onto the right-hand side where we have 366 is the total, and over on the right-hand side we have, as a percentage of take-home pay, 10%. Because we want to know in these individual categories here, for instance, if you look down there at savings, $224 is 6% of the take-home pay. We want to do that math and say what percentage is that category of our take-home pay, because we're going to look at that a little bit later. Now, here's the way it works, though. We're going to take the far left-hand column, your first column, and you add up electricity of 100, 55 of water, 75 of gas, 45 of phone, and 21 on cable. All of that adds up down the left-hand side to the center, just in one notch, is 296. You see that? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Then you take that center column where 296 is, and you total that all the way to the bottom of the page, and you have a page total of $2,491. Do you see that? And so that's your page total. Now, there are three pages to this form, and this is your overall monthly budget. At the bottom of the next page on the form, on the left, you'll see a category that's called the blow category. You need to allocate some money in your budget to blow, because you're going to blow some money. So just go ahead and put it on there. So let's, you know, we're doing this for two reasons. One is we're just admitting that life isn't perfect and we need a little bit of wiggle room. We need a miscellaneous category. The second reason we have a blow category is in memory of your former plan. Now we go over to the third page of this form. Now we've got all of our page totals from page 1, 2, and 3 added up, and you notice that all three page totals, oddly enough, equal exactly the same amount as our income. So income minus outgo equals exactly zero. Do you think that's going to happen the first time you write it out? No. So there's going to be a little give and take, a little trial and error till you get this to balance. But you're going to stay at it till it balances. Because I had one guy come into Financial Peace. He goes, look, Dave, I got $479 left over. I won. No, you didn't understand. That wasn't the goal. Because if you leave $479 just out there floating around, the ants carry it off, don't they? You come back, and you might as well just put it in the blow category because it's just going to leave and you're not going to know what happened to it, right? So give it a name. I don't care what you name it. It's your money. But give it a name. Every dollar has a name. Income minus outgo. It's going to take a little bit of messing with it to get it to hit. But income minus outgo equals exactly zero. And remember, any found money, any extra money we find, we're putting on whichever baby step that we're in. Whether we're on baby step 1, 2, 3, or 4, wherever we are, that's what we're concentrating on. And I'm going to walk through that whole system before we're done, and you'll see exactly how to do that. Now, recommended percentages. This one really gets the nerds uptight. And I've almost taken this form out of the budget form system. because people completely go bananas with it. They'll send me emails like, Dave, you have transportation on here at 10 to 15%. We're spending 15.3% on our transportation, and I'm really worried because I'm over your recommended percentages. You need to just kind of lighten up and take a chill pill. This is a recommended percentage, and it kind of changes a little bit depending on, I mean, if you don't make much money, these percentages are off. If you make a lot of money, these percentages are off. I mean, for instance, if you make like $1 million a year, I don't want you spending 10% on food. You would be rather large. Okay? So this is a general concept. But it does bring to bear something like with transportation. If you've got a car payment that's 60% of your take-home pay, you got issues. You know, and it kind of makes you give you a wake-up call with that. I remember I was counseling with this little couple one time at a church and sitting with them, and little Christians, and they were sweet, and they were stupid. The guy's take-home pay was $1,200 a month. He had a $600 car payment. And I'm going, what were you thinking? And he said, well, God gave us this car. Even the finance manager said it was a miracle. This is really what they said. I'm just looking at him. I'm going, no, God did not give you this car. The finance manager was smoking weed. God did not give you this car. Well, aren't you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. And I'm 100% sure God did not give you this car. How do you know? Well, number one, you don't own the car. Number two, the Bible says the blessings of the Lord have no sorrow added to them. And this looks like a sorrowful mess to me. They said, well, so are you saying we should sell the car that God gave us? I said, yes, or make plans to move into it. What are you thinking? So that's what recommended percentages are for, just to kind of give you a little wake-up call, a little coconut on the head if you need one right there. Oh, my goodness gracious. Now, the allocated spending is probably the most important form in all the budget forms. Now, the monthly budget where we lay out the whole month is a 3-page plan. You remember that plan? Say yes.
Yes.
We're going to take the numbers from that, and now we're going to develop the plan we're really going to manage with day to day, week to week, trying to figure out where we stand with everything. And that's this form. This is the form right here. Do not mess this form. Now, you write across the top of the thing the dates of this month, of the beginning of the week.
You're 7-1, 7-8, 7-15, and 7-22.
We have 4 weeks of July represented here. Now, some of you get paid 1st and 15th. Some of you get paid once a month. Some of you get paid weekly. Some of you get paid very weekly, okay? And we're going to, you know, so you just got to write it all down. You got to figure out, now this month, I'm going to get a paycheck on this date, and she's or he's going to get a paycheck on that date, and my extra job paycheck is going to come in here. And you look at that ahead of time, and you put those paychecks, the total of your paychecks for a given week, at the top of that week. So I got 3,188, 0, 472, and 0 is the income I've got to spend on my overall situation. Are you with me? Say yes.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to spend 3,188. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to tithe apparently for the whole month right there. I'm going to take 366 out of 3188 to the left of that slash. To the right of that slash, you see what is 2822. That's what's left over after I take 3188 minus 366 is 2822. Minus 224 down there at savings, do you see it? Leaves 2598. And I keep going back and spending to the balance, back and spend, and to the balance until I get to the right of that slash to a zero. And I've got that week then spent on paper, on purpose, before the month begins. I've got the other week then spent. You kind of already do this form in your head when you say, I pay the car payment and the cable bill in the second check. That's kind of what you do in your head then. You're kind of allocating it to different checks already. What I'm doing here is making you go to detail on it, because this is like you manage money for a company. If you worked for a company and manage money, this is the kind of stuff you have to do. They want to know how the cash is going to flow. They want to know how the payables are going to clear. They're wanting purchase orders. And when professionals manage money, this is how they do it. Every dollar has a name before the month begins. If you work in a corporate situation where you have P&L responsibility, they'll kick your butt if you don't do stuff like this. It's that simple. Or fire you, or however that works. Now, the irregular income planning sheet is one of the sheets I get asked the most questions about. Well, Dave, I can't do a budget because I'm self-employed or I'm on straight commission. I just never know, so I can't do a budget. I get that all the time. Oh, no, you got to do a budget more than anybody else because I know about you. I am you. I've been straight commission or self-employed just about my whole life. And those of us that are straight commission, that we're entrepreneurial, we're salespeople, we have a tendency to try to out-earn our stupidity. And that is a major issue. You cannot out-earn your stupidity. You have to put it on paper on purpose before the month begins. Now, the way the irregular income planning sheet works is any extra money that comes above what we pretty much know is going to come. What we pretty much know is going to come, we run the regular budget forms on that. If you if you're in straight commission and you haven't been below $3,000 a month in 3 years, then you can run a regular budget on $3,000. But if you have a $6,000 a month, what are we going to do with that other three? That's the question. And that's what this form is. You make a list of everything that didn't make it in the budget in the first run over here, and you make a list of everything I want to do or should do or could do over here. And I make a list and I put a dollar amount beside it. I'd like to pay extra on this debt. I'd like to save some money. We'd like to put some money aside for Christmas. We'd like to go on vacation. I want to buy this item. Whatever it is, and you make a list of those things and you put a dollar amount beside them. Then you look at that list and you ask yourself, if I could only do one of these things, if I make my $3,000 and I make one more dollar, what would I do with that dollar? If I could only do one of these things, what would I do? And then you say, I'm going to put it on that thing. Okay, that's your number one priority then. You put a one beside that item. If I could do one more thing on here after that, what's the next most important thing? You put a two beside that. If I could do one more thing after that, what's the next most important thing? You put a three beside that. And so on until every one of these has a number in order of importance. Rewrite the sheet then off of a yellow pad. Write it onto this sheet in order of importance. Most important to least important. And the sheet is really simple. The amount is the amount that you need for the item. The cumulative amount on the right-hand side is just the running total. So this particular couple's trying to pay off their JCPenney card. They want to put $150 on that. And then they want to pay off their Sears card. So $150 plus $250 over to the right is $400 is the running total. Then we want to pay off a $500 Visa. They're working their debt snowball, looks to me like. And so $400 plus $500 on the right-hand side, the running total is $900. You see how that's working? Say yes. Plus, I want to save $200 towards a vacation. $900 plus $200 is $1,100. And then we're going to put some $400 towards Christmas. $1,100 plus $400 is $1,500. Now, if this guy gets a quarterly bonus out of the blue that's not in his budget, it doesn't mean party, road trip. It means if he gets a $1,064 take-home quarterly budget, what's he going to do with it? Well, we're going to pay off JCPenney, Sears, Visa. We're going to fund part of the vacation. Because $1,064 doesn't quite get me to $1,100. I just go how far I can go down that right-hand column. How far will that check? If I get a $500 check, we know we're going to pay off two credit cards and a little bit on the Visa. How far down that right-hand column can I go? Do you see how that works? Say yes. That's how to manage an irregular, unpredictable income. You still have to spend every dollar on paper before the month begins, even if you can't predict it. Now, the breakdown of savings is one of my favorite sheets. It's kind of a fun sheet. Works pretty good. Basically, what you're doing here is, if you have a savings account, I recommend for your emergency fund that you keep it completely separate. You don't mix any of the savings with your emergency fund. That way you don't accidentally buy a couch with your emergency fund. But then you need the miscellaneous savings account over here to save up for Christmas or save up for the property taxes or save up to go on vacation, right? Say yes. And the problem with that miscellaneous savings account is it builds up, builds up, builds up, and then we impulse and we forgot that we had this other thing coming. We go buy a leather couch and we didn't leave the money in there for Christmas. And then Christmas comes around and we go, oh, he got me. Okay, snuck up on me again. You don't want to go there at all. So what the breakdown of savings says, it says in my savings account, down at the bottom there, I have a total of $1,600 in October, but that $1,600 isn't really $1,600. It's really money for car replacement, for my health insurance, and my savings towards Christmas. The next month, there's $1,850, and I have $700 for car replacement. So if I go spend on Christmas $900, well, something's not going to happen with the car replacement or the health insurance deductible, right? We just bid into one of those, and we're saying that out loud. Now, the reason I like this fund is one time we had a really nice vacation fund set up to go snow skiing. And we're sitting there, and the furniture fund didn't have a lot in it. We were saving for some furniture, but it didn't have a lot in it. Well, my wife gets this bright idea. She wants a china cabinet. Now, see, I'm a guy. I do not understand china that we don't use. And I really don't understand a $2,500 cabinet to put it in. It just does not compute. I do not get this whole concept. But I figured out with some things, I don't have to get it. I've just got to get it. So I'm okay with that. But there wasn't enough money in the furniture fund for the china cabinet. Almost, but not quite. But there's plenty over here in my vacation fund. I'm getting ready to go snow skiing. And she starts looking over there at that, looking for this china cabinet. I'm going, no, you can't ski on a china cabinet. It'll bust all to pieces when you go down the mountain on it. It won't work. We're not doing that. And she says, no, wait a minute. Hear me out. I got an idea. This is a true story. She said, I want to move my portion of the snow ski money out of there to buy the china cabinet. And there's a bunch of guys over at church going skiing, and you take the rest and go skiing with the guys. So get this, people. I got to go snow skiing with the guys, and I was a hero. I love this form. I love this form. But what it really did was it created communication, didn't it? And we had a place here to talk through an issue and come to a resolve. Everybody got to win. We created a win-win scenario. And that's what that breakdown of savings form will do for you. We're going to cover the debt snowball form in detail in the debt lesson. There's a pro rata form that we're going to cover in the collections lesson in detail. There's some other forms throughout your form system that you'll see as you go through the workbook and through the different lessons, how to calculate on a refinance, how to calculate on things like your retirement or your kids' college, those kinds of things. You'll do those as work study on your own, and you can always go online. We've always got new features and tutorials and tools and videos and all kinds of very, very cool stuff there. So check online regularly because we're constantly updating it. We have a fabulous, fabulous website. Now, big time, you got homework. First time we were together, Super Savings, I sent you home to do the quickie budget. Now you have to do your first full-blown budget. And it's going to be hard. And you're going to be frustrated. And you still got to do it if you want to win. Now's when you start to realize this is not just about giggling and laughing at my jokes. And it's not just about learning something new and then going back and watching the same TV programs. Now is when you start making the choice of whether you're really going to change your life or not. Now is when you really got to look in the mirror and go, okay, now's the time, baby. This is it. You look at your spouse. We're going to pray together right before we fight, you know. Because we're going to sit down here, we're going to do this thing, we're going to lay it all out. We're going to have a game plan. This is real. This is not a class. This is a life-changing boot camp environment. You have got to step into this with zest. Because if you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to keep getting what you've been getting. So your homework is to lay out your full game plan. Is it going to be perfect the first time you lay it out?
No.
You're on the bunny slope. Maybe a big hairy bunny. There may be a pile of other bodies at the top waiting on you. But by trial and error, you keep working on this. I got to tell you, we've been doing it 20 years. We can do our budget now in 15 or 20 minutes a month. It really doesn't take long. And my free spirit puts in 5 or 6 minutes a month. It really doesn't take long because we don't have any bills for one thing. And the other thing is we've been doing it so long, it's just nature for us. It's just our natural process. But boy, those first few months we did it, it was hard. And I'm not going to tell you it's easy, but I will tell you it works. And I will tell you it's easier than being broke. And it is the only alternative to being broke. You will not win in this class until you do a budget. You will not win in the steps of financial peace. You will not get out of debt as successfully as the other people until you put it down on paper, on purpose. There is no exception. There is no way out. These financial people go, never do a budget. This is somebody trying to sell books, all right? That's the truth. The truth is you've got to do the hard work. It's the only way you get to win. And there's no exception to it. That's why every book I've ever written that's hit the New York Times bestseller has got the budget forms in the back. There's no exception to this. You've got to do this. So your homework is now assigned. He who is faithful in the little things will be given more to manage. Thanks for being here.